I'm also thankful for Pilgrim Camp and for the opportunity to be at camp and have been here this time, this period, until today. And it's been a wonderful time together. Last year I couldn't come either and wasn't well. Right before camp started, or a week before camp started, and wound up in the hospital. And then the doctor said, no. He almost let me come. Almost let me come, if you're careful, because your wife is a nurse. And almost, and then, where are you going? Well, I told him where I was going, and he said, well, where was the nearest hospital? And I said, I don't think they have hospitals in that part of the world. When he found out how far away it was, he said, no, you'd be dead by the time you got there. I don't think it's a good idea. And so, couldn't make it. But I'm glad I could make it this year. I'm glad that the Lord has met my own heart and need and ministered and strengthened, I trust, by His grace. And as has been said by different ones, you don't know sometimes what the Lord has done. You don't know until you get in the shower and the hot water starts hitting you, and then you realize, hey, wait a minute, the Lord did something for me. Not that I'm running around swearing all the time, and I need that, but there are other things that you realize something's changed. God has done something, and I'm thankful that He works. He's always working. He works without interruption and continually, to will and to do of His good pleasure. And I'm thankful for it. I would like to read from the 128th Psalm again this morning, just to finish that chapter. We looked at it Monday and yesterday. Psalm 128, we talked, to remember, it's all in the context of Humpty Dumpty. And if you weren't here, I can't help you anymore, but Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and Humpty Dumpty, of course, was that cannon in England, and when it came down, it broke up to pieces, and they tried to fix the thing, and the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't do anything about putting Humpty Dumpty back together again, because it was irreparably broken. And we had said that that's kind of like what the whole world is, the society that we live in. And many, many people, it starts as individuals, it goes to families, it goes throughout the society at large, and the whole world. And it's broken things and broken people trying to repair and fix broken things and broken people, and it just never works. But thank God we've been called in this world to another kingdom, a kingdom whose leader is not broken. He's able to fix us. He's able to repair us. No matter how far away and damaged we are and marred and broken, He's able to take those lives that are broken by sin and depraved and ravaged by the enemy of our souls, and He's able to make us new from the inside out. That's what His kingdom does. That's what our King does for us. That's why He's so wonderful. That's why we love Him, because He can make all the difference in our lives, and in our homes and families, and in the community and in the world. Jesus has an answer. There's a little song or chorus that I heard a long time ago. Jesus has the answer. I guess it was an Andre Crouch one. For the world today, above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way. And of course, Jesus knew that before Andre Crouch did. And He wrote and talked about it there in John 14. Jesus said, I'm the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and nobody comes to the Father except they come through Me. And here in the 128th Psalm, I don't know that it was necessarily written with this perspective, but I see in here the kingdom of God and His will, His agenda, program for fixing broken things, broken people, broken lives, broken worlds. And in the beginning of it, it talks about everyone individually. Blessed are the ones, everyone who fears the Lord. The King, He gives His word. And if you obey and hearken to His word, He'll make your way prosperous and you will have good success. He'll change your life. But you got to listen to the King. You got to obey the sovereign will of the King, who says, listen, you've sinned and you've come short of the glory of God, and you're not righteous. Nobody is. but I can change your life and I can heal your hurts and I can forgive your sin and cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness. And as we heard, today is the day of salvation. That's what the king says. He said it yesterday and he'll say it again tomorrow if he tarries. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. There's still an open door. And the king says, come on, I invite you to my kingdom. Let my kingdom come into you. I'll set it up in your heart. Let the King of Glory come in, and he begins to change, and you fear his word. You start there, and then you begin to walk according to his precepts, and you hide those words in your heart, and you follow them diligently. And that's what those beginning verses talk about. Blessed is the one, the individual, who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. You eat the fruit of your labor. Blessing and prosperity will be yours. And then it went, we said yesterday, from it goes from you to it spreads to your family, to others. It gets through the mentor relationship. It gets through your relationship. It gets into your life and it gets into others. And you have the picture there of the fruitful vine, that wife. She is also, according to Proverbs 31, she's so fruitful and she does so well at being the wife that God has wanted her to be, because she is one who fears the Lord, it says in the 30th verse of Proverbs 31. She's a woman who fears God. You know, it's not an accident. Mothers are not just women who bear children. Yeah, I know. That's a good definition. Sociologically, that's the definition. That's society's definition. Women bear children. Mothers are people who take care of their children. Mothers are those who take care of their homes and are responsible before God for the trust that he has permitted them to have. And so he says in that next verse, your wife, from your individual lives in the family, in the family setting. We talked about that, how God's design is that in our homes we train our children, we teach our children, we model before our children the precepts of God. We fear God enough, and it trickles down to the olive shoots that sit around our tables as it portrays it there. Those olive shoots, remember, about 15 years before an olive shoot becomes an olive tree. But if you do a good job with the olive shoot in the first 15 years, an olive tree can bear olives for a good long time, thousands of years in some cases. But those olive shoots need to be tended to. They need to be nurtured. They need to be helped. And so the Bible here says, those sons are like those shoots that are around your table, and thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. But then it goes further than that. And the psalm continues and it says, may the Lord bless you from Zion. Now Zion, there's a lot of different ways. We played on the instruments this morning, early, 8 o'clock in the morning. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. Zion was that little hill in Jerusalem, that little spot there on that hill where the temple was. And where the family had the opportunity, moms and dads had the opportunity to let their kids know, we belong to something greater than just we four no more, or we six or ten or 12 or two or whoever big the family was. We belong to something greater than just we. Thank God we can honor him in our home. We can make him the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation right in our homes. But we belong to something bigger than just our family and our home. We belong to a community of people. We belong to a community of believers. We belong to a temple where we have an opportunity to come together. And that's the center of our worship, in essence. That's where we go to meet God and where we go to hear him and read his law and do. And a lot emanated from the Zion city, from the Zion temple. Really, their whole life flowed out of that place. And that became the center, as I say, of their worship. And we go from our homes and our families and we go to our churches. And I know you can't really make the connection that sure. But there's a semblance there of it at least. That's our Zion. That's our temple. That's our place of worship. That's where we take our families and we join ourselves, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but we come together and we do so much the more so. So much the more so. We probably should have three meetings a day at Pilgrim Camp. Because we believe, if you believe Jesus is coming soon, then we should gather together so much the more so. So forget about those days back then when we only met twice or three times on some days. We should go up to three out of four, don't you think?
Yes.
Well, I know. You live in His presence all the time, down at the beach, at the lake, wherever you are, on the ping pong table. And I'm not advocating we change anything and we go to more meetings. I'm not saying that. But I hope you get my point. We come together. And we come together often. And we come together to meet the Lord often. And it's not, oh, here we go again. I got to go through another meeting. I got to do another time together. It's like I heard a story one time about this this family that came, and they had a little kid with them. And this was in a, not this camp, but another place. And in the camp, they had all kinds of flags in front of the church. American flag, Christian flag, and different flags of different countries represented in front of that, on the platform. And the little kid was in the meeting, and they had gone, you know, the whole week, and morning and night, meeting after meeting. And you know, some of you aren't little kids, but some of you maybe are wondering, like we heard. But this little kid, you imagine how much torture that must have been for this fellow. Mom tried to do everything she could to keep the kid quiet. She brought trucks. And so there he was on the, you know, on the chair next to him or whatever. But unfortunately, vroom, he started making noise. Vroom, vroom, but shh, quiet. And you give him something else to play with. And, you know, you give a boy anything. You got eight boys, 100% boys. You give the boy a banana and they'll make anything out of anything, and just to make us shh, quiet. And so that mother was doing her best, and finally the kid said, "Hey, Mom, what's that flag up there?" Pointed to the American flag. And so the mom said, "Oh, that's the American flag. It's the American flag." She thought that would satisfy him. He'd quiet down for a little while. He'd think about that. Look at those pretty colors. Maybe count the stripes or stars or something. But that didn't satisfy him. "Mom, what's the next flag?" So he said, she said, "That's the Christian flag. The Christian flag." Whoa. Okay. Well, that lasted for a little while. And he thought about that for a while. Christian flag. That's interesting. He thought about it. And then he said to Mom, "Ma, what's the next flag about?" "Oh, that's the one for those that died in the service." He said, "Ma, which service, the morning or the evening?" Sometimes we get an idea that going to Zion is like murder. And you're going to die in the service, and you don't just know which one, but one of these coming pretty soon, we're going to die. Well, I hope that's not your idea about coming to Zion. You know, Zion is like an embassy. Your church, the place where we gather, it's like an embassy. It's like a little bit, should be, like a little bit of heaven and the presence of God being manifest. A little bit of His kingdom here on earth. A place where we can come to resort, not just to see one another and who got a new dress and who got a new hat and who's going to make a mistake in their testimony and who's going to... But we come together to see Jesus and to meet Him. And the King manifests Himself when we come together in His name, two or three. There He is in the midst of His people. And it's like coming out from the brokenness that's all around and the broken people and the broken lives and the hurts and the dilemmas and the problems. And we all come together in Zion, and we all come together in the house of our Lord, and we just focus on Him and forget about ourselves and concentrate on Him and worship Him. And we can't stay in that house of God. Some people really would. Sister Hofflander meant what she said before. And there are other people that really would like to stay more and would like to gather more times and would like to worship the Lord more. And I'm not saying that that's bad if you don't and better if you do, but that's just the way some people are. They want more, and they want more in a meeting, and maybe you get more out of a meeting. And I'm not saying yes or no, but when we come together, when we leave those meetings, we take with us the fragrance of Zion. We take with us the presence of Jesus. We go from wherever it is that we've gathered and we've gleaned and we've absorbed and we've been changed, and then we leave from that community of believers where we've exhorted one another and we've encouraged one another, and we've done that so many times more and more because the day of Jesus is coming nearer, and we have to go out from the community of believers to more brokenness and to more poverty of soul and of heart and of mind. And we have the privilege then of being, well, charged up, if I could put it that way, strengthened with might by His Spirit. And so we go from Zion with the principles. We don't live in Zion 24/7, but we live in those principles. We live in that atmosphere. We live in that presence of the King of Glory who's manifested Himself among His people. And I believe that the Lord would want that to be the case. I believe the Lord would want to start and get a hold of you and you and me and every one of us personally, individually. You don't stand before Him as a church or a camp. We stand before Him as an individual. And then He wants to get into our families, and we've talked about that. And He wants to get into our Zion, and He wants to get into the place where we congregate and meet together. And He wants to manifest His presence and His kingdom to be worked out among His church, His people, right there as we gather together in His name. But He goes on and He says, The Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. I guess Jerusalem to those people was right where they lived. I don't know right where you live, all of you, but right where you live, it should go from you, from your family, from your community of believers, right to where you live. And there should be a lighthouse right in your community. And you should take some of that light from that lighthouse, because you are the light of the world. And you should bring that light that shined into your heart, right into your community, right into your school, right into your job, right into your neighborhood, and that right in our Jerusalem. You know, again, you go forward to Acts chapter 2, where the Lord says, I want you to be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts. And that's where the psalm goes also. In the community that you live in, bring Jesus. Bring some of Zion. Bring some of that fear of God, because there is no fear of God, by and large, in the community that you live in. The fear of God is gone, and it's reflected in the language that you hear. It's reflected in the mores of our society. The brokenness is just manifest by the lifestyle that people live. And you and I are called upon to shine forth that light of Jesus from our lives right into the community. Don't just keep it inside the walls. Don't just keep it inside the church. But bring out that church, bring out that community of believers, that life of Christ, bring it out to right where you live and let it shine. Shine all over your community. And then he goes on from there and he says, and the last phrase, may the Lord, and may you live to see your children's children, the prosperity of Jerusalem, and peace be upon Israel. And now, who can tell me what that word peace means? I mean, the word translated from what does the original say? Yeah. Say it again loud.
Shalom.
Shalom. Now they tell me that shalom just doesn't simply mean peace. It's a good translation. It's the best we can do. But it's a total well-being. It's a wholeness. That's what when a Jewish person would greet a Jewish person, or in the whole Israel at large, God would like there to be shalom, a well-being, a wholeness, a wellness. Where there's brokenness and where there's chaos and where there's strife, the Lord would like there to be well-being, shalom, a completeness, the fractures to be mended, those that are irreconcilable to be reconciled, not only to one another, but to the head, to Christ. And there's a design, there's a program behind the kingdom of God, and that's to invade the kingdom of darkness. And to take people out of the brokenness and the kingdom of darkness and to bring them into the kingdom of His dear Son. And you and I have the privilege and the responsibility both to first of all have a fear of God and let it go from us to our families and from our families into our churches and from our churches into our communities and from our communities out of Zion into all the world. And may the Lord help you and me and we all together. No, it's a dark world and we're not in the majority and we are in the vast minority. But that doesn't preclude us from shining because the light shines the brightest in the darkest place. And so if you get called into the army, let your light shine. It's a dark place, but thank God there are souls there, broken people, broken lives that Jesus wants to use you to shine through and to minister to so that they too can come to the light. Everybody sitting here this morning is sitting here this morning because you found yourself somewhere in this psalm. Maybe somebody from Zion took the gospel to your community, to your Jerusalem. And you heard somehow, we had Kathy here last night who was in California when the Lord spoke to her. She didn't know the Lord. She was a young woman and she didn't know the Lord. But we heard about that 15-year-old girl that from her own fear of God and reverence for God and devotion to God came to where she was and took that message of the love of Jesus Christ to Jerusalem, to some community and city that Kathy was in California. And from the brokenness then that Kathy had experienced in her life, there became a mending, a healing. She came into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And then because of her life, others too were drawn to Jesus Christ. And their brokenness was changed and their lives were healed. And that's the way the kingdom increases. And of the increase of his government and of his kingdom, there shall be no end. There are no walls on that city of God. There's room for more. We sing, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. And the Lord wants to use me and you in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria, so that there become peace, well-being, and wholeness in Israel. Shalom. And so I pray that God will transform us and continue to revolutionize us and make us into those new creations. You know, every once in a while, I hear something, a report that's going to come up on the news at 6 o'clock or whatever it might be. They got these little spots that come in. They try to intrigue you, attract you. Those little sound bites or cuts. If you listen at 6 o'clock to the news, they'll tell you 6 desserts that you can eat and lose weight. I'm interested in that. It gets my attention. It attracts me. Sometimes it's a sports clip, and they'll, you know, Yankees have a severe injury. Listen to the details coming on at 15. And I'm interested in that. They got my attention. I've been attracted by that. I want to hear more. I won't say anything about the Mets. But a little while ago now, I guess it's been, but I heard on Jeopardy. Did you ever watch Jeopardy? I'm glad if I can just understand the clues, let alone get the right answers or the questions to the answers. But I heard your own, whatever her name was, from Bayshore, Long Island, is going to be on Jeopardy. I wanted to see. I had no idea who she was. And Bayshore is not exactly really close to me, but she's close enough to pique my interest, and I wanted to cheer her on and see how well Bayshore Long Island would do on Jeopardy. I couldn't. I felt bad that I couldn't see that. I wanted to help her win as best I could. I would tell her the answers, and I don't know if she could hear or care about what I was saying, probably the wrong answer. But you know, you get those sound bites, or you get those little clips, and they interest you. Maybe it's a poor analogy, but in a certain sense of the word, every one of us are sound bites or clips. And what we're supposed to do, what your job is, if you don't like the light or the salt, what your job is to go out into Jerusalem, go out into Samaria, go out into Israel, go out into your community and be a little sound bite. There's a program coming. It's the kingdom of God. And be attractive. So that other people say, you know, I'd like to see the whole program. That interest, it intrigues me. I see something about, that's interesting. I want to know more about that. I want to know more about why it is that those words get stuck here or they get out of the heart altogether and they don't come. I want to know how you could have changed so drastically. I don't want to start going on and on because I'm going to owe more minutes and I just might as well stay home next year. We've got to be those sound bites. We've got to be representatives of the King, ambassadors for Christ. And go out from camp and go out into your communities and let the light shine from you and let other people be attracted to you. And maybe they'll come to you and say, you know, what's the deal? I like what I see in you. You know, something is different about you. What is it that makes you tick? And they want to buy a ticket to see the whole program. And then you can tell them, you don't have to buy a ticket. Jesus already bought when he paid the price. You can come right into his kingdom, and from whatever brokenness you're in, and whatever mess you've made, and whatever's gone wrong and awry in your life, Jesus can put it together again, because what he's done for me, he can do for you. And that's the kingdom's program. And I believe that's the way the world gets better. And I believe that's the way the city gets better. And that's the way the church gets better, too. And that's the way your home gets better. And it starts with your life in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And the fear of God in your heart. And so, Lord, I pray that we all may walk before you all the time, Lord, all the time with the reverence, the awe, the wonder of the King that we serve, the kingdom that he's called us into. And, Lord, we've learned that it's a good idea to follow his precepts. And I pray that you continue, Lord, to write the Word of God in our hearts and thereby change us, Lord, from glory to glory. Write the Word of God's in the cottage, in the village, in their hearts. Yes. The recitations that they spoke on Sunday from your Word. The songs that they've been learning, which, as we've heard, are truths from your Word. Lord, get these songs, get these words of God into their hearts, we pray, and put the fear of God into them. And Lord, where it's not there anymore, there's no beeper anymore in the brains and minds of so much of our society, we pray that we would be sensitive to your still small voice that speaks conviction to our hearts, no matter who we are, no matter how long we've known you. We thank you that you can give us a tender conscience to your Word and keep the fear of God among us, Lord, we pray. Dear Jesus, to the end that you may be glorified, that the world may know, that others who are in just as messy a condition that we once were in, before we found the King and came into the kingdom, Lord, so many Humpty Dumpties all around us trying to find wholeness. And Lord, you say, I want shalom, I want peace, I'm the Prince of Peace. And Lord, you'll put the life back together. And Lord, we pray that we might be those good representatives. And that other people may be drawn to you because of us, through our lives. May we exemplify and glorify the King. And may you be honored and may you be glorified forever and forever and forever. Lord, increase your kingdom today, this day of your salvation. Not here only, but in our homes through the people of God that are scattered abroad. Lord, we pray for your church, for your people, that you may be honored and glorified in and through every one of us. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Amen.